Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Food Marketing Mindset Podcast. I'm your host, Doug Resch, and joining me today is my co-host.
Hi, I'm Holden Rouse.
Now let's set the stage for an exciting episode. You've probably heard of food ingredient traceability, compliance, and the intricate details needed of ingredients in the food industry. But today we're taking it up a notch. Introducing our special guest, Paul Bradley, the Senior Director of Product Marketing at Trace Gains. Paul is a seasoned marketing wizard who knows how to blend data-driven strategies with a dash of creativity. He's one of the secret ingredients behind Trace Gain's success, and we're thrilled to have him here. We'll uncover the mysteries of traceability, explore the art of collaboration, and sprinkle in a pinch of marketing magic. Whether you're a food brand, a supplier, or just a curious foodie, this episode is for you. So grab your headphones, adjust your taste buds, and let's embark on a culinary adventure with Paul Bradley and Trace Gains. Paul, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Paul, could you give us a taste of what happens on the world's largest networked ingredient marketplace?
Absolutely. You know, Trace Gains Marketplace is a place where over 1,200 CPG brands and manufacturers from around the world connect and are able to search for and pull down documents for about 500,000 different ingredients from 78,000 different supplier locations worldwide. And to do that in a manner where all of that data is standardized and flows very seamlessly through to our enterprise suite of products.
That is a lot of companies, actually. 78,000?
It's a lot. It's about 78,000 supplier locations, and that's really important because we actually work at the location level. That's about, I'd say, around 30,000 probably separate supplier entities that sit behind us.
Still
big numbers.
A lot, yeah. Wow. So, I guess going off of that, what benefits does the traceability provide for both the suppliers and the brands using Trace Gains?
Oh, man. Yeah. You know, traceability is the first thing I'll say about that is, we'll talk about this more today, I'm sure, but traceability is a team effort, right? I mean, this is something that the whole industry is going to be coming together on, whether it likes it or not, over the next few years. And then there's such a convergence of factors that are making that happen. I think it's beyond even a simple, kind of cost-benefit analysis at this point. You kind of pick your poison, Do you want to talk about food safety and FSMA and the rule for traceability? Or do you want to talk about Scope 3 carbon emissions? Or are you operating in the EU where you need to be thinking about deforestation regulations? Or, are you concerned about forced labor or child labor in the supply chain? Are you concerned about putting your best foot forward with consumers? All of these things are pushing us into this environment where I think brands and their suppliers, I use this word on purpose, don't be squeamish, but brands and suppliers need to become a lot more intimate with one another. And that's a big part of what we are out there helping to create and change that we're trying to help create in the industry.
That's some great insights. And I think, obviously the intimacy and the traceability, that's obviously something that will matter. So how does Trace Gains ensure that ingredients are tracked from their original, their origins to the final product?
Yeah, well, like I said, that really is something where I think a lot of entities are coming together now and are going to have to come together across those different domains that I mentioned, because each of those requires slightly different things. Fundamentally, what Trace Gains does and has always done is that we are the platform that allows a CPG brand, for example, to pull down all kinds of information that it needs from its suppliers surrounding its ingredients and the materials that it sources. And when you start to think about the origin of those materials, when you start to think about certifications surrounding some of those things that I talked about and the data that needs to flow through, it's kind of just another flavor of that. And our goal is to really be that platform, almost kind of an agnostic platform, that can work with the various partner organizations out there in the world that are helping to bring that data together. Right now, a big focus for that for us around that is different domains of sustainability. So we have announced and are in the process of announcing some really cool partner relationships with organizations that are out there focusing on, hey, we're going to look at the supplier entity and figure out what their net carbon impact actually is, or we're going to do that on the ingredient level. Or we're going to go and work with auditors to look at the labor conditions, right, that are happening at different facilities around the world and be able to bring that data in. So our role increasingly is kind of aggregating the aggregators of that material and being able to bring forward the things that are meaningful to the different brands that we're working with. And honestly, everybody's kind of at a different spot in that journey right now.
I love that. So you're talking about the relationship between the brands and the suppliers with a lot of what Trace Gains is all about. What's the number one thing Trace Gains does to foster those relationships?
Yeah, totally. I mean, the number one thing for us, and it's the kind of the thing we go to bed thinking about at night and wake up thinking about in the morning, is our network. It's the ecosystem that we've created. You know, I threw a bunch of numbers at you a minute ago, but what really sits behind those numbers is a growing global community of brands and manufacturers and suppliers and co-manufacturers and other service providers that are part of this networked ecosystem that are exchanging information. And, you know, I can go all day on the subject of networks. I think this is really, we want to talk holistically about the future of the global food supply chain. That networked model is so crucial. And what it means for relationships, fundamentally, it's hopefully like our friend networks or our family networks, right? You've got an ecosystem where high performing organizations are rewarded for performance. Bad actors are categorically eliminated from that network. And you create an environment of trust. You create an environment where you and I may not have worked together as a brand and a supplier, but I already know a lot about you by virtue of you being here. I can start from a position of much greater trust. And of course, we can exchange the information that we both need to verify that trust is on solid ground. So, I mean, really, that's for us, all the great functionality and bells and whistles is cool, but without that networked ecosystem at the heart of it, you know, that's stuff.
And Paul, can you enlighten us a little bit? I think it's the Trace Gains Gather program that seems to be a game changer from what I've read on your website. So how does the marketing team ensure that food ingredient suppliers and brands, as you talked about, find their perfect match within the networking marketing place?
Yeah, totally. Well, you know, I love that question because it gets us into talking about marketing. You know, I'm a marketer. You guys are marketers. There's a community of marketers that's going to be listening to the podcast. And, you know, our worlds are a little different, right? I'm a software, B2B software as a service marketer. And that's in some ways very different from, what it means to be a marketer for a brand or for an ingredient supplier or whatever it may be. But, you know, there are some things in all our worlds that are very similar, you know, and I think one of the things that every marketing organization in the world in 2024 is dealing with is, you know, you can't just go out and brute force stuff the way it used to be. You can't just keyword stuff some lousy content and throw it on the website and away you go, right? You've got to be able to create something that's a lot more authentic and engaging for the people that you're trying to reach. That's what Trace Gains Gather is. About a year ago, we made a big, big decision as an organization, which is the Trace Gains marketplace had been around for a long time, but it was a closed ecosystem for our customers and their suppliers. We decided to open that up to the world. So anybody can now go to gather.tracegains.com and search for material that they're trying to source. They can sign up and become part of Trace Gains Gather for free. And that was a big part of us saying, you know what, we're just going to put our money where our mouth is. We're going to open ourselves up to the community that we serve. We're going to invite people to come and be part of this. We're not going to erect a barrier for them to do that. We want you to come. We want you to experience the marketplace. You know, kind of don't take our word for it. Come and participate. And the impact of that on the marketplace and on the network has been fantastic. We've seen continued really strong growth accelerating over the last couple of years. So, you know, being able to bring people into an experience where they can find their own match on their own terms, where they can find the people that they're looking for based on what they need, that to me is sort of the marketer's Shangri-La in all this. You know, how can we really make the experience of what we're doing work for our customers and for our prospects and the folks in our community kind of on its own terms versus just, you know, hey, read my little blog post and take my word for it that we've got the right solution for you. And I think that for all marketers, I think that's the kind of stuff we have to be thinking about now.
With Trace Gains Gather, a lot of new brands, well, I hear this all the time, they have issues sourcing new ingredients. They have issues finding ingredients, finding the suppliers. They have the idea, but they don't know where to get those products, the ingredients. How does Trace Gains go about finding those new brands of startup CPG brands and help them, like, introduce them to this service and getting them that ease of access to, like, hey, we can help you find what you need. Just use us.
You know, we're always out there trying to help people become aware of the fact that TraceGains Gather and our network exists. And there's lots of ways that we try to do that. Those range from all the standard stuff that you would imagine. You know, we are certainly out there as a marketing team with ads and LinkedIn and all those things that everybody does. But we try to be really active out there in the food and beverage community as well. You know, we're there at the trade shows. We're there having that physical presence wherever it makes sense for us to do that. We're trying to create those conversations. And we create some really great forums internally for people in the industry to come together, whether you're a TraceGains customer or not. Our annual Together Conference is a great example of that we'll probably talk about a little bit. But yeah, you know, I mean, the old linear sourcing model of, hey, I'm going to go on Google and maybe I'll get lucky and send an email to this guy and maybe he'll respond and maybe I can get a sample a few weeks down the line, right? I mean, that's not meeting the needs of the industry anymore. And we really do believe that when we get people into that network experience, that more community-driven ecosystem experience, it's something special. And you know, we always are looking forward to new people coming in and having that experience with us.
That's great. So when a food brand comes into TraceGains and they're looking to gain access to the ingredient suppliers, et cetera, how do they work within the data and analytics to help impact the decision-making that's happening within their brand? Or how could they use TraceGains to impact their company further?
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, from the standpoint of TraceGains Gather and the networked ingredients marketplace, there are some things that are very different about that environment. And one of the key aspects there is that, you know, we're working at that ingredient level, and we are really providing instant access to, you know, fairly specific and technical data around the ingredients that are out there. Now, it's always up to suppliers what they choose to expose in the marketplace. So, you know, I always kind of put that in there because if you're out there making bespoke, you know, ingredients, you know, that are proprietary, of course, that's not going to just show up there because we said, right, it's up to you. But, you know, what suppliers eventually, I think, discover on TraceGains Network is that if you are transparent, you put some specification data up there and you put your allergen statements and things that people can go and grab, it just takes time out of that process. I, as a you know, R&D guy, can very, very quickly understand, does this material potentially work for me before I even have to necessarily go out and engage with that supplier and drive a conversation with them. So it's kind of like turbocharging that process of finding what you need, finding the information surrounding it that you need to qualify it, being able to qualify that supplier, whether that's just down to nuts and bolts of country of origin or whether that's, yeah, I want to look at some global intelligence data and relate to, you know, has this guy had some issues that I want to be aware of? All of that stuff kind of flows around that networked ecosystem data. And making those pieces available to the guy who needs to get that sourcing task done right at the front of the process is something that we're doing, I think, pretty differently.
I want to stay in terms of the compliance and working the suppliers. How does TraceGains go about making sure the food brands and the suppliers are up to date on those compliance documents?
Yeah, so, you know, one of the things that we're always trying to think about is where can we use technology to help get those human resources that are in the environment focused on really key, highly value-added tasks and get them out of the repetitive scut work kind of stuff that, you know, potentially the technology itself can help leverage. And honestly, a very great example of that is just keeping track of document expiration, right? Once you do engage with a supplier and you get the material and the information from them that you need, being able to keep that current is something that a technology can do. And you can, you know, automate those requests for updated documentation. You can get all that in a dashboard and a report. Like, that's all doable. It doesn't happen in a spreadsheet, right? But it happens when you take that next step of digitization. And you know, to me, that's, I tend to think of that as much more than just saving a little bit of time. I tend to think of that, again, as how can we really maximally leverage those human resources that we have in our organizations, really get these smart people focused on smart stuff, and look to all the other things that can just be part of an automation flow and make good decisions there. You know, to me, these are the things that can really, you know, kind of create that differentiation between innovative brands that are moving forward and brands that are, you know, kind of keeping their head above water from a compliance standpoint.
So, I mean, as we all know, compliance software, technology in general, isn't really known to be exciting to some regards, right? So
I mean, that's a matter of perspective.
Well, right? That's true. That's a from another marketing person, maybe right. This year. So how does Trace Games make compliance appealing, cool, sexy?
Sexy compliance software.
Sexy compliance. I'm gonna trademark that. Can I trademark that?
Exactly. Copyrighted trademark.
Yeah, but... No, but it's a really, really valid question, right? And honestly, I would trace it back to what I just mentioned a moment ago, which is, you know, it's not the right way. We all know this. It's not the right way to think about it, to put compliance in a bucket over here and innovation in a separate, you know, golden silo over here and nobody communicates, right? If we're taking care of compliance and we're interweaving compliance in really effective ways into how we innovate and how we develop new ideas and how we attack new markets, now you're talking something that actually is a little bit sexy, right? It becomes an enabler for innovation versus just, you know, a millstone that you got to drag around and take care of all the time. So, you know, but what does that actually mean in real terms? And one of the things that we like to talk about is, you know, again, the silos, walls, barriers within organizations. They, you know, that's the norm. They exist everywhere. And, you know, breaking down those barriers and not like Miley Cyrus on the wrecking ball thing, but, you know, just through collaboration and better relationships between teams, that's really powerful, right? And you can really, I think, create an organization where, yeah, you're taking care of the basic compliance tasks. You're automating as much of that as possible. But what you're really doing is building a culture of compliant innovation, a culture where, in fact, being able to meet those compliance obligations and source creatively and take, you know, think strategically about your manufacturing value chain. All of that converges on doing cool stuff, you know, and doing cool stuff, I think, is where we, you know, we all want to be able, whichever side of the industry we're on, that's where we all want to be able to get to and stay.
Cool compliance, sexy software. There it is.
There it is.
So, as consumers are increasing demand for transparency, I see that everywhere now. Like, people want to know where their food comes from. What's Trace Gains doing to ensure that you know where the ingredients that are being put in the database come from?
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of things that go into that. I'll mention one very concrete example because it's top of mind for us. You know, in the last year or so, we were taking a look at where we sat in the marketplace and we're like, man, there is still a lot of struggle out there around just the nuts and bolts of accurate labeling, right? Making sure that I'm communicating accurately to consumers about what's in the freaking wrapper, right? So we went out to the end of last year, we announced the acquisition of a company called NutriCalc out of the UK, which is a fantastic nutritional calculation solution that gives us, you know, all the nutritional reporting and labeling formats that for, you know, most applications around the world that we can use. And it's a very high high level of accuracy and very, very usable. We're like, okay, let's do that. Let's bring that into the product. But that's, you know, that's one expression of what you're talking about. I think, you know, ultimately at the end of the day, being able to really say with a lot of confidence, I am part of a supplier network and a manufacturing value chain that are trustworthy, that are verifiable, for which I can at any point, you know, produce the documentation that I need to do. I'm cool. I'm audit ready all the time. You know, just getting to that basic piece is a lot, but it is absolutely achievable. And there's, you know, there's a subtle brand equity that comes with just not screwing up, you know, and being that reliable go-to, yeah, you know, product year after year after year. And, you know, I think that's how you ultimately build that, is just putting that all together, keeping it all together, and leveraging technology of various kinds, not just Trace Gains, but, you know, leveraging technology in smart ways around the organization to keep that running and do it efficiently.
So talking about leveraging technology, you brought up a little bit ago about innovation as well. How can brands use technology and tools like Trace Gains and other software programs, as you may know, how can they streamline their new product development process through that system, whether it's Gather or this new nutritional ingredient program?
Yeah.
How do you leverage that?
It's, you know, it's fun because it's actually one of those things where I'd love to be like, well, here's the thunderbolt. You just do this and then everything comes together, you know, but the reality is, as we're kind of talking about, you know, this is a complex business, and it really has to do, I think really streamlining innovation has to do with looking holistically from the point that you're ideating something to the point that you're, you know, starting the process of developing that material to the point that you're actually commercializing that and moving into production. And all along the way, there are little things that you can do, right? We've already talked about sourcing more efficiently, getting more quickly to documents, being connected to suppliers via a network so that documentation and sample requests can move quickly. But, you know, part of what we do that is just so cool and it's so fun to talk about is when you actually get into formulation, right? You're developing recipes, you're working out the physical product. You know, in the old days, you guys know, I mean, the norm forever was, okay, I come up with an idea, I slap together a recipe, I put something together on the bench, maybe I schlep it out to a lab to get the nutritionals done, and it fell apart, okay. You know, and you work through this product, and that's fine, right? I mean, that's how I cook at home. But the reality is, that can be slow, that can be expensive, and that can take a long time. And if you're changing materials, that can take even longer. You know, the reality is you can do more and more now with digital simulation inside of the software. I can tweak those variables and I can see where that's going to come out and I can calculate nutritionals on the fly. Now, you're still going to create physical product, but what if I'm creating that once or twice at the end of an iteration cycle versus having to create it every single step of the way, right? So, you know, again, you have some things there that allow you to compress timelines and move a little faster. And, you know, we have some terrific customers that have, you know, that have given us information to say, hey, you know, we have actually cut our net time to market in half. We have actually done better than that in a few cases just by pulling together all of these, you know, I won't say little, they're not really little, but, you know, a series of meaningful improvements that really add up to a much, much faster path to market in the end. I geek out on that stuff, if you can't tell.
That was the awesome. I love that.
Full geek out mode.
Holden's been on the bench, so maybe he can speak.
Yeah. I think as a product developer in the industry, having trace gains be that tool to find what you need when, honestly, a typical search engine's not cutting it. If you type in, I need organic brown sugar, you're going to get Amazon and Google ads like crazy. You're not going to find the right supplier you need to develop your product. But with trace gains, right, that's all you're going to get. You're only going to get the right choices. And that's what I love about it.
And you know, that comes for us from just from listening to folks like you, right? It's listening to the industry and folks saying, yeah, you know, this, I go out to Google, I'm going to get a million consumer-oriented responses back, but I not only need this product, I need a specific granularity. I need a specific moisture content. I got to get going here, man. Right. Being able to respond to that is everything to do with how we've developed that network over time. But it's been guided by you and it's been guided by our customers and users.
Yeah. I mean, what would be one of your favorite success stories that you've heard through working with different brands and product developers?
You know, I will cite a contract manufacturer that we work with. I'm going to skip. I'm not going to use anybody's actual identity here, but to protect the innocent or the guilty, I'm not sure. But a great contract manufacturer that we work with very closely. They've helped us enormously in guiding what we do, and we love to engage our customers in our development process. But they've got a big footprint in barbecue sauce, which now it sounds really weird now I say it that way, but. You know, one of their challenges is kind of what we just talked about, right? It's being able to get appropriate fill levels so that when you've got the stuff running through the factory at high speed, right, you've got the consistency that you need for that product in the bottle, and it's predictable, and it's all that good stuff that goes way beyond me. And you know, the classic deal, they would in the old days, they would try something and they would do a fill test, and they'd try something and they'd do a fill test, and this could be 40 or 50 iterations of that to really get that dialed in. Now that all happens in digital simulation. The fill test happens at the end of the process as a confirmatory step in a way they go. You know, again, we're back to not very sexy stuff, right? We're talking about fill levels in plastic bottles. But man, you know, if that's the organization and you are responding to a customer and you're being able to come back with product that meets their needs and gets them to market, and you're able to do that in a few days instead of a few weeks, that's a big deal. That's a big differentiator for you in that market. And we love being able to enable that.
That's amazing. I think getting back into some sexiness here, as a fellow marketer, I'd like to talk a little bit about brand narratives, right? So every brand, you have the opportunity of building this unique story and this proposition of value. How do you think Trace Gaines has done, or have you done this yourself, building a crafting, compelling story that build this brand? All of this leveraging some of the success stories, et cetera, that you guys have done. How do you put all of these pieces together into a narrative that works best for transparency?
I think that's such a crucial question. And again, this is one where I think all marketers in one way or another are dealing with this in their own way. You know, I think for us and our team talks, believe me, we talk about this. Like, this is something that we're always kind of soul searching on. And, you know, when we go out for beers, this is where the conversation always winds up. You know, and, you know, I think a lot of it has to do with really having a point of view, right? Really having a perspective. And when I say point of view, I don't just mean like a value prop. I mean like a view of the industry, a view of what's important, a view of what's meaningful, and a sense of what kind of change in the industry we want to be part of. You know, a little over a year ago, we actually published a manifesto. It's on our website. You can go and read it. And really talking about things that we felt were valuable or that we felt were important, necessary pivots for food and beverage and for the industry as a whole. You know, things like, we feel, you know, we'll come out and say, we feel like, you know, the actual users, the frontline personnel have traditionally been underserved by a lot of the big old legacy ERP level software platforms that have been out there, right? They weren't necessarily designed with, you know, the frontline individual in mind. And so we try to really elevate the user because we think if the user isn't able to do their job effectively, nothing's going to happen effectively. You know, one example out of many, but, you know, We think hard about sustainability. We find parts of that world to be incredibly compelling and things that need to guide what we do and what we prioritize, not just from a dollars and cents perspective, but because it's where we know the industry has to get to. So, you know, I think if you've got a point of view, you're able to communicate it, you're able to get on stage at a trade show or bring people to a conference and have that conversation and battle back and forth and have some good, healthy debate around it. You know, it all comes back again, I think, to that sense of authenticity and that sense of, you know, there's more to this than just, you know, I'm going to calculate a little ROI return on making this particular investment. It's more like, are we going in the right direction as a community? Are we building the right ecosystem for that to happen? And that gets a lot more exciting.
The next time we have you on, we're going to have some beers and talk about that as well.
Let's do it. So you've alluded to a couple times now in terms of building this vibrant community at Trace Gaines. Could you talk a little bit more about how the marketing team fosters engagement with that community, discussions, building team knowledge, sharing among its users, and then how you interact with those users as well?
Yeah. Well, and, you know, and it's super important for us because, like I kind of alluded to earlier, I mean, look, I've been in technology for, I'm going to say, a long, long, long ass time. I mean, you know, for more than 25 years. But I am not a food scientist. I am not, a quality and compliance guy. I'm not a microbiologist. These are not the areas where I have deep firsthand expertise. You know, we get that from building strong relationships with our customers and with our users. And so we look for a lot of different opportunities to do that. You know, a key piece of that certainly is our annual Together conference, which I mentioned earlier, which has had fantastic growth over the last several years. It's a virtual conference. It happens over 2 or 3 days, depending on the roster. You know, we had about 1,500 people attend that last year, or actually earlier this year in January. And, you know, we're able to foster a two-way conversation with both our customer community and just interested people who are out there around the industry or following the industry and who want to come and be part of that. We have added to that this year to have in-person get-togethers around the country. We just did one. Actually, we have one this week in Chicago. I'll be flying to London to do one in a couple of weeks. You know, so that we're on the ground in the environment, actually hearing from people. And then, you know, in addition to a number of other things, we really do very intentionally engage customer working groups and advisory committees for a lot of the stuff that we need to navigate. That's, you know, people getting together to talk about what the product needs to do to be better at handling food content, packed surface packaging problems, you know, to regulatory arenas, to, you know, the big topic of sustainability, to, you know, again, customers who work with us very, very closely on actual development and design for the product. So all those different arenas, wherever there's an opportunity for us to directly engage, pull someone into a conversation, or just, you know, put feet on the ground, you know, in an environment where our customers are, where users or the community is, we're trying to do that.
It sounds like we should have waited a couple of weeks from now, and we could have done this in London.
Yeah.
It's not too late. It's not too late.
And get some beers there too.
Yeah, exactly.
Head to the pub.
As someone that's been a product developer and having to deal with regulatory compliance is the nightmare of my life in general, how does Trace Gains Gather help brands navigate the complex regulatory landscape?
Yeah, Trace Gains Gather for sure, but really our entire enterprise, you know, set of products kind of aligns around this. Here's one of the places where I feel like the kind of traditional, you know, legacy large enterprise software world, I'm thinking the ERP kind of, you know, domains, and but kind of the PLM world too, where that kind of really hasn't, I think, served the user community that you've been part of or that our customers are part of, is there's always been this tendency to kind of say, well, we're going to talk about suppliers as businesses, and we're going to talk about SKU level stuff, and then everything else is blah, 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 blah. You know, whereas regulation as it functions out there, especially food safety regulation, but increasingly sustainability regulation, especially in the EU, you know, you've got to be able to think about suppliers at a location level. You've got to be able to think about material at a lot level. You've got to be able to actually get down to the point of this stuff on this loading dock, which came off of this truck from this place, you know, is in spec or out of spec, is compliant or not compliant. And by the way, I know where it was cultivated, and I know, you know, in the event of an issue, I can trace it to that, or I can, you know, again, for our friends in Europe, which is a bigger and bigger part of our business, that stuff's no joke, man. You've got to be able to actually very clearly demonstrate that certain categories of material did not come from a cultivation environment that resulted in forestation loss, right? But that is really getting down to, you know, again, locations, distinct items, actual lots of material that are moving through the supply chain, and being able to manage things at that level. So, you know, we from the get-go knew that we needed to architect our system around that set of needs. And that's some complicated stuff, dude. You know, it's taken a lot of continued work over and a lot of great customer input over the years to really get that dialed in. But, you know, we are very, very proud at this point, I think, of having a solution that we feel is, you know, a truly comprehensive tool for addressing those regulatory requirements at the level that those requirements actually function. And having a tool that is actually purpose built from the ground up, from that level of detail, to be able to manage that, and to do it in a world that's just getting more complex. You know, I mean, at our last customer get together, I asked the question, how many of you have fewer suppliers in your network now than you did 4 years ago? And of course, not a single hand goes up. Everybody has more. Everybody's got a more complex supplier network. Increasingly, everybody's got a more complex manufacturing value chain, more outsourcing, more handoffs within just the actual manufacturing part of the aspect of the process. So, you know, you got to embrace that complexity. You got to lean into it. I think we've been doing that for a long time. And, you know, it's as that complexity increases and as the regulatory hand gets heavier in some markets, we're there for that.
I think the paperwork involved in brands building their businesses is incredibly difficult, right?
It's not easy.
No, not at all.
It's kind of, and this isn't to criticize things like safety regulation, because we need those, right? Like, don't get me wrong. That's not where I'm coming from here. But yeah, the complexity of managing that becomes a restriction on innovation, right? I mean, that is that's a huge barrier for food startups. You've got a great idea. You've got a cool product in mind. You've got something that really could be transformative. People want it. It's exciting. And then you look at what you've got to do just to get over the initial compliance hurdle. And it's like, maybe not.
Right. The thing is, Trace Gains seeing a niche build a business out.
And we want to be part of the solution for that. I mean, that's to us. And again, coming back to that point of view and values, I mean, that's meaningful. That's those small brands, I think, are the big engines of innovation in the industry. You know, we want to help make that happen.
And I think the tools that you've built seem like they're able to monitor and build these high standards around paperwork, ingredient specifications. And I like to just, I guess, finish with how would you see a brand really being able to mitigate the risks around ingredient quality, safety, that you could say that last big secret sauce that you'd put to the table for Trace Gains?
Yeah, there's a million ways to answer that. I think the one that I'll choose is to go back to what I mentioned earlier around automating the parts of the process that make sense to automate. You know, if you can have technology that is smartly applied, and again, this doesn't just have to be a Trace Gains thing, right? There's a lot of technology out there. But if you have technology in your organization that is smartly applied to be able to tackle a lot of that repetitive management stuff, such that you're freeing up the humans in the organization and their creativity and their diligence and their passion to really focus on issues, focus on exceptions, focus on where their energy is really going to do the most good, that's when I think you really can start to move forward. You know, if I've got a guy sitting on a loading dock staring at certificates of analysis and specs all day, cool, I'm glad I've got that guy there, right? But he's a human and he's going to get tired and he's going to need coffee. And, you know, if I can automate that process, which I can, right, and manage to the exceptions that fall out of that process, now we're talking, right? Now we can actually have real focus on the issues that need to be addressed, real focus on long-term preventative action and continuous improvement, not just having to spend all of our time on just, like I said, keeping our heads above water. So all those opportunities for automation, all those opportunities to lean into technology in smart ways, those are there. They're only getting better. I think it's an exciting domain to be part of, and we're certainly going to be continuing to try and push the envelope there however we can.
That's fantastic. I'm so happy that we had you on the show today and learning about Trace Gains from the marketing standpoint. I think as a product developer, I think that's so interesting to see how spreading the message and solving the problem that many product developers have had.
Yeah, I would agree. And hopefully our audience today has gotten a chance to really understand the mysteries of traceability and how Trace Gains can help mitigate some of those risks and take out some human elements that may cause errors as well, and build their own brands, right? As a supplier, make impactful decision making sound like a key aspect that Trace Gains can really leverage.
Well, you know, it's an exciting place to be. I mean, I love this industry. I think we all do. As much as it drives us all crazy sometimes, I think we're all here by choice, right? And we're all invested in it. So, yeah, I really appreciate you guys having me on the program. It's been a blast to talk to you about this. It's always really fun, I think, when marketers from different domains can come together and talk about their world. So, yeah, thanks very, very much for having me on. I'd be more than happy to pop back anytime.
Awesome. Thank you.
And that's a wrap on today's episode with Food Marketing Mindset. I'm Doug Resch.
And I'm Holden Rouse.
And a big thank you to our visionary food marketer who shared their secret sauce with us, Paul Bradley.
Remember, the world of food marketing is everywhere. It's powerful and it's effective.
Don't forget to subscribe, leave us a review, and share this podcast with fellow innovators. For more delicious content, follow us on our social channels and visit our website. Stay tuned for another serving of Food Marketing Mindset, where your appetite for growth meets the taste of triumph. Stay seasoned, stay inspired, until we meet again on the next episode of Food Marketing Mindset.